Welcome back to Tawarin Mechanech Yomiut Oyumit Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz. Today we'll continue our study of Sefer Shoftim. We're up to Perek Yud Ches. More drama in the story of Avodah Zarah that permeates the land at this time. So Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph tells us, Bayami Mahim Ein Melech B'Israel. In those days there was no king in Israel. Ubayami Mahim Shevet Hadani Mavakesh Lo Nachala Lo Shaves. Ki Lo Naflo Lo Adha Yamahu B'Toch Shiftei Shal B'Nachala. So we're introduced to, in the very beginning of this parak, that not only was there no king in Israel to rule over the land, to control the actions of the people in the Shvatim, but the Shevet, the tribe of Dan, is seeking an inheritance, a portion of land in which to dwell, because no inheritance had fallen, had been given to this Shevet as an inheritance. I want to quote from the Steinzot's Ketuvim. The tribe of Dan, Steinzot's Nevi'im, I'm sorry. It's the reason I keep saying this, because for the last cycle of Nachyomi, I taught Mishle and Tehillim. Sorry. Steinzot's Nevi'im. The tribe of Dan had been assigned an inheritance adjacent to the inheritance of Yehuda. This area was to extend to the lowlands and include a significant portion of the land of the Plishtim. However, it was an inheritance in theory alone. The Plishtim were too strong for them, and they constricted the relatively small tribe of Dan. And therefore, Dan is looking for a place to settle. So what do? They send from the family of Dan five representatives, men who are warriors, b'nei chayil, men of valor. They send them from the place of Tzira'a u'mei Eshta'al, so the place of Tzara and Eshta'al, where the tribe of Dan is currently living. They send them to scout out the land, l'ragela ta'arutz u'lechakra, to investigate and to scout out the land. And they say to these five spies, go chikrua ta'arutz, investigate the land. These five men from Dan come to Har Ephraim to base Micha. Remember, Micha excels in Hachnasas Archim, and they sleep over in base Micha. They are in the house of Micha, which remembers the house of Avodah Zarah. Vehema hikuas, kolanar Levi. They recognize, remember, Micha's ecstatic. He has someone from the tribe of Levi and Yehuda who is working for him as the priest. They recognize the voice of this priest, and they say to him, who brought you here? What are you doing here? What is your business in this place? So he says to them, like this and this, Micha did for me, and he hired me, and I am a priest in Beis Micha. Wow. So they hit the jackpot. They say, wow, Sha'alna be'Elohim v'neida ha'titzliach darkenu asher nechnu l'chim ala. Could you please go ask this of Avodah Zarah of Micha, and we will know if our path will be successful. Should we do our path? So this Kohen says, it doesn't even say if he consulted with the Avodah Zarah or not. Not that he would have gotten any answers. But the priest says, yes, l'chu l'shalom. You will be successful. Nocha Hashem darkechem asher techu ba. Unbelievable. They keep, every time we see it by Micha's mother, we see it by Micha, we see it by the priest. They're consulting Avodah Zarah, but talking about God, he says, yes, you should go in peace before Hashem and the path with Panyutu we are going. So these five men go to the town. They arrive in the town, I'm in Pasuk Zayin. They come to a place called Layish. Steinzot's Nevi'im. This is an ancient Canaanite name for Tel Dan. The city of Layish is actually mentioned in Egyptian records. According to archaeological findings, it maintained commercial ties with Mesopotamia and with cities on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It's amazing. Artifacts unearthed there from the 12th century before the Common Era and onward have been identified as an Israelite city. So they come to this place of Layish, I'm in Pasuk Zayim, which is in the northern Chula Valley. They saw people in the city living securely. The men of Sidon were not warriors. They were primarily merchants. They did not attack other nations. They were not the targets of investigations. In other words, these five spies from Dan found a land that sits in peace and quiet. It's geographically remote. Layish is at the northeast edge of the land of Israel, and they had no business with anyone else. In other words, it was a serene, secure, and thriving city. So they have a good impression of this place in geographically removed, which is in the northern Chula Valley. Now they come back to their brothers, Pasuches, Tzira'a and Eshtal. They go back to the rest of the Shevet who's dwelling in Tzira'a and Eshtal. And they say, the brothers say, so what did you find? So they say, get up. Kuma v'na'ala le'em ki re'inu et ha'aretz v'hinei tov amod. Our investigation was successful. Get up. We're all going up to this place of Layish. V'atem machishim al te'atzu. Quickly, quickly, be roused. Do not be lazy. L'alechas l'vo l'rashas ha'aretz. We're going to go inhabit this land. Amazing. We found a great place to dwell. Pasuk Yud. When we reach there, we will come to the nation in stealth. The land is broad. God will give it in your hands. Are they referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam or referring to the Avodah Zarah that told them, so to speak, that they will be successful? We won't lack for anything when we go take over this region of Layash. 600 soldiers, 600 men from the families of Dan, from Tsa'ara and Eshtael, depart from these regions, and they are girded with implements of war. They come up, but before they go up to Layash, where do they go to? Har Ephraim, to Beis Micha. These armed men go back to, with the five representatives, go back to the house of Micha. Remember, the five representatives, five spies, already stopped at the house of Micha on the way up to Layash, and they said to the Kohen, please ask with the Avodah Zarah will be successful. Pasuk Yedalet. The five spies who had already gone to scout out Layash say to the 600 men of Dan who are journeying with him, do you know that in this place where we are camped, in these houses, there's an ephod, there's an apron to Avodah Zarah, there are trophim of Avodah Zarah, there's a molten graven image now, ata with an ayin, du matesu, know what you should do. So they turn from their path going up to Layish, they come to the house of the priest of Beis Micha, Shalom Aleichem, they say to him, and the 600 men who are girded with war are standing at the entrance of the gates of the city. And the five men who had originally been sent to scout out the land come. What do they do? So the 600 armed men from Dan are standing guard. The five scouts, the five spies, go back to Beis Micha. Lachu esa pasha, esa eifod, esa trafim, esa masecha. They steal everything from Beis Micha. They steal the graven image. Remember that Michal's mother paid 900 silver was melted to make the image. 200 silver was the fee of the silversmith. They steal the Avodah Zarah, they steal the apron of the Avodah Zarah, they steal the trophim, they steal any implements and graven images. And the priest is standing by the entrance and he's watching what's happening. And there are 600 armed men there. So what's this priest supposed to do? He can't fight back. They steal everything in the house of Micha. So the priest says, what are you doing? Ma'atem osim. So they say, be quiet. Hachareish, be quiet. Remember, it's his life, or the graven images. Is he really going to give up his life for these molten images, for these Avodah Zarah? Sim yad chal picha. It's a cool expression. Hacharish, be quiet. Sim yad chal picha. Put your hand over your mouth. Do that while I'm speaking. I'm doing it. I can't talk while I'm doing it, but put your hand over your mouth. If you put your hand over your mouth, you're quiet. The lechi manu, come with us. You will be for us as a father, meaning a father of Avodah Zarah. You will be our priest. Isn't it better to be a priest for a whole shevet, a whole mishpacha in Israel, rather than being a priest for just one man? In other words, you'll have much more prestige if you're a priest for Avodah Zarah, for the Bnei Dan. Why would you want to be a priest for Avodah Zarah, for one person, when you could have the prestige of being a priest for a whole family, a whole tribe? Vayitov leva kohen, the kohen thinks it's a great idea, and he takes the ephod and the trophim and the pestle, and he goes with them. In other words, he lets the theft happen. They turn and they go. And now we're told more information in verse 21 we have not been told before. It's not only the five spies and 600 armed men. Listen to the pasuk. Pasuk of Aleph. Vayifnu, they turn, vayelchu, and they go. Vayisimu es hataf, the Esa Mikna, the Esa Kavuda Lifneim. Who else is journeying with these 600 armed men and the five spies and now all the Trophim and the Avodah Zarah? They turn and they go and they place the children and the livestock and the property before them. So now we understand that not only was it 600 armed men, they took their families. They took their animals. They took all of their belongings. They are moving into Layish. They're going to inhabit Layish. They have gone some distance from the house of Micha, and the neighbors surrounding the house of Micha, Nizaku, they start screaming out, Vayad Biku as Bnei Dan. They catch up the people from the house of Bnei Micha, and the neighbors from the town of Beis Micha catch up with the people from Bnei Dan. And they call out to the Bnei Dan, and they encounter them, and they face them. So the Bnei Dan are not afraid, and they say to Micha, what's the problem? Why are you screaming out? Why did you catch up with us? Why are you here? Vayomer, Micha says, Esalo hayasher sisi. Look how he himself admits that Avodah Zarah is nothing. Esalo hayasher sisi. How could a person claim to have made their own God? He says, my God that I made, lakachtem, you stole it from me. That's a kohen, you stole my priest, vatelchu, and you went away. Uma liod, what do I have left? Uma zetomu elei, malach, what's going on here? What did you do? You've taken my God that I made. You took my priest. What's going on here? Let your voice not be heard amongst us. Go home. You're pathetic. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Don't make us attack you. You know, it's going to happen if we attack you. You will lose your life and the life of your household. Clearly, the Bnei Dan are not afraid of Micha or the men who came from the town to try and fight back. They're too weak. They can't fight back. The Bnei Dan go on their way, and Micha sees that they are stronger than him. He turns and he goes home defeated. They take everything from the house of Micha. They take the Kohen. They come up to Laish. I'm in Pasuk of Zion. So remember, it's not just the five spies. It's not just the 600 armed men. It's not just now the Kohen from Beis Micha and all the Vodazar from Beis Micha. It's the children, presumably the women, all the animals, all their possessions. They are taking over the town of Laish. They come to the town of Laish. It's a city that's sitting in Shokate Boteach. They're sitting in peace and quiet. They're dwelling securely in their land. Vayakos and Mufichar. The Bnei Dan strike the people of Laish by sword. Vasa'ir Sarfur Ba'ish. They burn down the city of Laish by fire. The Ein Matzil. There's no one to come to the defense of the town of Laish. There's no one to save them. It's very far from Tzidon, it says. They don't have any encounters with anyone else. They are in a valley. The Bnei Dan take it over. They burn the city. No one comes to the defense of the people of Laish. Vayivnu esha'ir vayeshvu ba. The Bnei Dan build up the city and they dwell there. Vayikru shem ha'ir Dan, pasuch av tes. They call the name of the city Dan. Who do they name it after? They're so proud. B'shein Dan aviyam. They name it after Dan, their father. Asher lu'ula l'Yisrael, their ancestor. They name him after Dan, their forefather, who was born to Yaakov. V'ulam Laish shem ha'ir l'Yisrael. It used to be called Laish. It's now called Dan. It's interesting to me. Laish means to knead. K-N-E-A-D. Losh is one of the Lamatas Malachos, to knead. And when a person kneads the dough, he owns the dough. He's in charge of the dough. He does to the dough what he wants. So you could say here that the Bnei Dan came and they kneaded the town for their own purposes. They ultimately, of course, destroyed the town. They're so ecstatic. Not only did they take over the town of Laish, don't forget they have the Avodah Zarah. They established for themselves the Bnei Dan, this Avodah Zarah, the Yehonasan ben Gershon ben Menashe, who Ubanav hayu Kohanim l'shevet Adani ad yom gilos haaretz. They have a family of Kohanim, of priests, who serve for them. And they established this Beis Micha, which is now established in Dan, which used to be Laish. They established these priests for hundreds of years until they are exiled from the land by the Assyrians. They established for themselves Pesel Micha that he made. All the days at the house of God, the Mishkan, was in Shiloh. They worship Micha's idol. It was established in that. I just want to point out, Yehonatan, the son of Gershon, the son of Menasha, according to the traditional formats of the text, the letter Nun in the word Menashe is suspended above the line, as though it is an insertion into the original word. If read without the letter Nun, Menashe read without a letter Nun, would be Memshin Hei. The Levite's name is Yonatan, the son of Gershon, the son of Moshe. According to the Gemara, this Levite, who served as a priest for the tribe of Dan, was actually the grandson of Moshe himself. As stated, despite the anomaly of the worship of a graven image, the people did not consider it actual idolatry. They considered it an enhanced form of worship of God, and they honored its priest. Of course, they were very misguided and very, very mistaken. And that is how Micha ends. Steindl's Nevi'im notes that Micha is presented as a pathetic figure who invested his heart, soul, and fortune into the temple, the idol, the ephod, the household idols, but eventually it's all stolen. He becomes impoverished. Neither he nor the people of Dan investigated the nature of this worship thoroughly. They didn't trouble themselves over the question of whether it was actually prohibited. This is a derisive comment on the manner in which idol worship originates, but obviously it lacks all substance. We see that the people were very, very misguided. They were very wrong. Unfortunately, they were worshipping this idol for hundreds of years. The whole time the Mishkan stood at Shiloh, until their exile. Instead of worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the B'nai Dan take over the town of Laish. They settle there. They establish peace from themselves, according to the drash from the family of Moshe Rabbeinu Rechmana Litzlan. And Micha is defeated and goes home. Totally, everything has been stolen from him, and everything he worked his whole life to establish has been taken away. Thank you for studying together. Ulu Neshamari Motenu Yikarod, Esther Oppenheimer, La Hashem, and Sarah Shankar, La Hashem, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generation. I look forward to continuing tomorrow. Kol Tov, and thank you to all.